Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Stars Cash, also known as Natalie. I am the owner of StarPsychicsWithAZ.com, and we're here tonight to talk about, do aliens exist? I always think that's fascinating because I believe in it. I believe that there is anything is possible, absolutely. And without waiting too much longer here, I have Stars Maya. This is their Stars name, and Stars James. And we will be, it looks like I have Stars Denise, Stars Cosmic Denise on, but we will be going by their first names, and Maya will let you know all about that. So Maya, go ahead and take it away, and let me connect Denise.
Okay, welcome everyone. This is Maya, and as Natalie mentioned, you can find me listed as Stars Maya Moon, but I'm just called by my first name, Maya, on the show. And I want to at first extend a great welcome to all of our listeners. If this is your first time, sit back, put on your seatbelt. I always like to say that because we really have a great panel, just some great discussions. And if you're a listener, if you've been with us before, then you already know that we have some pretty great topics. And I want to remind everyone, too, that we really would love to hear. We're going to be talking last week. If you weren't able to join us, remember you can always go to STARS homepage and you can listen to prior broadcasts if you're interested. And there's a variety of ways of listening. You don't have to use your phone. But we would really, we've been getting some callers and a lot of guests interacting, and that just really makes it more interesting for the listeners and for us folks that do the panel. So if you'd like to call in, if you'd like to share a personal experience or you have a general question, then the phone number is 347-838-9736. And just to reiterate, last week we spoke about aliens among us, and that's just a little bit different. This is kind of a continuation, but it's based on a very different ideology or different spiritual beliefs. So this week what we're going to be discussing is, does life on other planets, solar systems, is there life forms other than the human life form? And if so, how do we come to those beliefs? What can we share with the listeners about, you know, what our beliefs are? We're going to be talking about everything from lights in the sky, reports that are made by pilots, and there's a lot of military involvement where they, you know, there's a lot of scientific data that backs up unidentified flying objects. And then further on down, we have close encounters. I believe they call those the technical encounters of the fourth kind, and that would include abductions, missing time. So we're going to touch, hopefully, on all those different subjects. So I want to thank everyone for joining in, and we're really glad to have you. And I also want to take a moment to say a big thank you and hello to all those in the chat room. If you're interested, if your question isn't general regarding the topic, but instead you have a question where you would like a mini reading or a free question answered, then by all means visit the chat room. And we have several wonderful experts that work the chat room, and we work kind of together hand in hand and help each other out. So it's definitely a team effort. And right now we have James with us, and I'm just going to kind of give my little intro here on my belief system, and then we may have Denise joining us in a bit here. We'll see. So to start things out, first of all, I always like to be sure to say that we're sharing our belief system, and our belief system is based, it may be based on our education, our metaphysical experiences, our personal experiences. Most of what I share is what my guides have taught me. I rely on my guides during sessions and readings, and my guides are actually big teachers, and I think I've said this before, the way that they share a lot of universal information, and this subject is one that they've provided to me a lot of information, not just for the show, but in general throughout my lifetime. And they show me a panoramic screen. It's almost like watching a movie, and I get a lot of information. But I've also had some very interesting, and I'm going to be really honest and say that I did have a couple of experiences that I found were a little bit scary. And remember, just because we may be in the spiritual profession, that doesn't mean that we're not human and we don't have human emotions. I always joke and I say we don't have wings, we have legs, so, and feet, so we walk on the earth simply because we're gifted. So we're going to be sharing our beliefs that is not necessarily the only view or the true view. I love spirituality because it can be very subjective, and if something resonates with you, then it probably is something that's going to work for you. And if it goes against your beliefs, or you say to yourself, oh, I just don't, that just doesn't feel right to me, then look for another way, because there's many ways. And with spirituality, it's not something that's right or wrong. It's not the same as math. 2 + 2 = 4. I don't care how you want to look at it or how many calculators you want to use. 2 + 2 = 4. And in spirituality, it's just such a wonderful, enlightening subject, because there's just all ways of going. So there's many different encounters from, I'm going to start out by saying, people who have witnessed lights in the sky. And while it's true that some people might mistake, an air balloon or a test jet or something of that nature to be an unidentified flying object, or UFO is the shortened term for that, there are way too many reports, way too many to discount that as being not real. I definitely support the theory that there is life on other planets. In fact, I think there are more than one species, and I feel in which we touched on some of this a little bit last week, even though we talked about more those that walk among us. This is something where they, we're talking more about do they exist, and if so, what, if any, is their interaction. I do support the theory of abduction, and I'm going to go even further and just give you a quick, I'm a blabbermouth, so if you've been listening to the show, you've already figured that out probably. I believe that there is a myriad of and quite a few agendas depending on the species. Again, I feel there's more than one life form, and I feel that they are living in the same, time may be different, but I don't see it as a alternate universe. I see that my belief is that they are living as we do, and I believe that they have different agendas, and some of those are extremely positive and really can eventually or are intended to help us to achieve a better way of life, a better way of living, if you want to say a more spiritual way. I kind of refer to those that have seen the movie Avatar. I absolutely, that's probably my favorite movie. And so when I look at the quote-unquote good or more positive alien life forms, I see them very similar to what's depicted in the movie Avatar, and that is they're very much interconnected, and they're aware of that interconnection, and they honor that connection, and nature to them and species, everything has a purpose and has energy, which I believe in the physical world that to be true as well. That being said, I also believe that there are life forms that come from other planets or solar systems or galaxies, whatever term you want to use, and that they infiltrate or they come to Earth and there is abduction. I believe in that theory. I also believe that there is some reproductive issues going on that may not be maybe against our will. It may not be something that we are volunteering and saying, hey, I want to do this, pick me. So I really support all of that. I'm a believer, and depending on the time and how many callers we get, listeners that guests that call in, I may or may not share those personal experiences. So again, we'd love to hear your personal experience. And although we're not doing, although you can go to the chat room, we're not doing readings or answering personal questions. If you have a general question about the subject, by all means, call one more time. That number is 347-838-9736. And without further ado, Mr. James.
Thank you. And I just want to thank everyone for listening and for being in the chat room and being a part of the show. I just wanted to share a little bit of my viewpoint. We shared this last week, or we talked about this last week. I have a difficulty believing that there are other life forms from other planets on this planet. And I think part of that is physics, and I have a very rudimentary understanding of physics, and in my studies, I just find it difficult that interstellar travel is very, it's not very logical to me, and that they would come here. It just doesn't resonate very well with me in terms of my logical mind. And when it comes to, from the spiritual perspective, I really haven't explored that, with my guides and with my journey. My journey has been, a very healing journey and, working with angels and all of that. So my spiritual side, I haven't really explored this particular topic. My logical side has. I'm a sci-fi fanatic. I love science fiction. I absolutely believe that there is life on other planets. I think that, just considering how massive the universe is, it would be illogical to think that we would be the only ones to evolve even to a certain level of consciousness. So I do believe in that perspective. But then for an alien species to, have interstellar travel and then to find us, on this little planet in, the backwoods of the galaxy, I really just don't see there's a logical path for that. It's possible, I wouldn't just consign myself to believe that it's not an option. It's just something I have not personally experienced, nor have I explored from a spiritual perspective. And really, honestly, it's never been something that I have, from the spiritual perspective, it's never been something that I've really been all that interested in either. I've never felt guided in that direction. But again, I think that the estimate is 100 billion galaxies, that most of which are bigger than our galaxy, and our galaxy has approximately 100 billion stars. I mean, it only makes sense, logical sense, that there are, other species on other planets, and also that they would have evolved into a level of consciousness and understanding similar to ours. That only makes sense. So, I guess with that, I don't have a lot to share on this particular topic, but I will go ahead and pass it. I guess, am I passing it back, or do we have...
Denise has joined us. So,
oh, good.
This is Maya, and if you want to speak with Denise on Star Psychics, you'll find her listed under Cosmic Denise. So, yes, James, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to go... Yes, definitely. Go ahead and turn it over to Denise.
Absolutely, Denise. Well,
thank
welcome
you.
To the show, Denise.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Maya. It's interesting because a few years back, I was exactly where you were, James, when it came to, alien life. I've always been interested in sci-fi, but it never was a thing that I was really, I didn't want to take that spiritual journey to connect because it was just like, okay, I'm sure, there are other entities out there. We're not the only, can't possibly be the only planet, with so many planets already being discovered and, you know, so many space travel movements already happened and so many experiences people have experienced. It's just one of those things where you kind of observe and you watch and you go, oh, well, that's interesting, but you never really go, I want to dab into that. And it wasn't until I moved to Arizona, and I've mentioned this before in previous shows, that all of that just came to a halt. And I had the biggest reality check ever that there really is more to it than, you know, what I thought I was interested in. And my first interest was just to figure out what people were seeing and what people were experiencing. And I sat out with a bunch of UFO watchers out in the East Mountains of Arizona and just listened to them tell their stories. I joined some meetup groups that dealt with the subject matter and listened to the stories, did some exercises in terms of remote viewing. And that's when it all really became quite real to me, because even though I went in with a little bit more of a base to just listen, observe, and learn, but not really tap in, I ended up tapping in and tapping in hard and really seeing some things that didn't quite blow my mind, but definitely switched my perspective to want to learn even more or experience even more, I should say. Because when you experience something, you don't exactly want to go into the research. You just kind of want to have more experiences. Of course, you know, balancing that with research. And one of my experiences, and all my experiences, have actually come through remote viewing or meditation. And when I saw this very praying mantis-like creature, which X-Files, things of that nature, I've always seen the grays, the typical grays with the big eyes, the little, like, 4 feet bodies, 5 feet bodies. And that's something even I saw in meditation once when I was talking to my guide about healing. One was kind of on a, almost looked like they were, like, maybe a few inches above, just kind of looking down, listening to the conversation. And that's the experience I had with a gray. But to me, that was just one of those things of, well, okay, I've seen grays on television in the sci-fi movies. That wasn't too shocking. But when I saw the praying mantis-like creature and then had another vision of, again, the grays kind of outside of the door of the building, it was actually in a healing building, too. It was the Edgar Cassey healing building in Arizona and around Scottsdale. But when I had that experience, it all became quite real, and I really wanted to explore the type of entities that might actually be out there. And, again, I just kind of combined it with listening to more stories and other people's experiences, and the world and the types and the forms and the shapes is so amazing. People have seen things that go beyond just those typical grays that we all know and seen in sci-fi movies. They go into insectoids, I guess you could call them. They go into Nordic, which a lot of people say are very like humanoid type gentle beings. They go into reptilians, which I've also seen around people in terms of around their auras, in terms of spirit attachment. So everything opened up the minute I became a resident in Arizona. We spoke of this before in a previous show about how there's certain areas in the country that attract that energy a lot more, or just seem to. It could be the temperature. The hot temperatures are very much a resident to what it might be on their planet. It could be anything from just the ley lines, the energy lines in the planet attract that type of vibration. With the crystals in the earth, you know, you've got Sedona with a lot of history and healing energy from the Native American past. So it's different places in the country really seem to have a little bit more of that oomph when it comes to UFO experiences, extraterrestrials. And Arizona is definitely 100% one of those places. I've lived all over the United States, and I've never had experiences like that until I moved here. So it's definitely a hot space for any activity that you want to visit or learn a little bit more about. But to me, based on the experiences that I've had, I can't say that there aren't life on other planets or that we haven't visited, because I feel like they have tapped into the vortex of how to get here. And one thing that I remember listening to, I believe it was a scientist talking about how, you know, how people can travel at the speed of light. And if you took the universe and you kind of, you know, folded it like a taco, that becomes a vortex, to where everything is not so, you know, just linear in terms of mathematics and how we think of things in a very linear type of way, but they come almost like a curve, you know, a circle of sorts, and everything just kind of shoots a lot faster through that. So they've kind of tapped into, I guess, the vortex of the universe, and the way he explained it was like just taking a piece of paper and folding it like a taco. And that center space is how time travel and interdimensional beings can come in from the fourth dimension to here and, you know, show up on this physical reality and have people have experience of being abducted and things of that nature. And like I said, it's definitely something you can study. Earthfiles.com is a great resource if you want to kind of keep up on crop circles to extraterrestrial experience people have had, to all sorts of things going on the planet. But, yeah, I'm 100% a believer that they visit Earth and that they also live in universes and planets all over the system that we can't even probably imagine, you know, and probably will never probably figure out in our lifetime as long as we're here. So it's a fascinating journey, but it's one that I think once you make the intention to try and go there, you'll definitely will open up that part of your psyche and perspective to welcome it in. And that's with all things. You know, if you want to learn to ride a unicycle, you know, you could definitely take on that experience, and next thing you know, hey, you're an expert in unicycle riding. So I think it's just you have to have the intention and the heart. But if you don't have the heart and the intention to actually go there, then it is going to be more kind of an observant type of just take it in from the sidelines viewpoint. Back to you, Maya.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Denise and James, for the information that you've shared. And I, first of all, I want to say that I agree. I think it would be narcissistic and egotistical of us just looking at it, you know, aside from any spiritual beliefs, just looking at it from a logical perspective. And if you look at any even the general astronomy of solar systems and the size of planets and locations and the entire, I mean, really, I'm not an astronomer, so I may not be using all the precise terms, but the solar system and the galaxy is just infinitely large. And so to assume that we are the only planet or system or solar system or group of planets, stars, what have you, that can support life, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, it just really is ridiculous. I mean, it goes back to pre-Columbus days when they thought the Earth was flat and that if you sailed far enough, you would fall off the ocean. I mean, you would fall off the Earth because, you know, I mean, now we think about that. I mean, we could even compare it to, you know, I can remember my grandmother had a television, but now her mother, my great-grandmother, if someone would have told her, you know, you're going to be watching TV, and I'm pretty sure she would have been horrified if she would have known the content nowadays that TV is. But, yes, I definitely... There's no doubt in my mind. I've had quite a few personal experiences, and I began a journey which was based on personal experiences and what my guides, I believe that they felt that I needed to explore this to perhaps help other people, but also to understand. So, you know, from lights in the sky, and again, if you'd like to call in, if you have a personal experience, or you'd like to challenge us on any of our statements or beliefs, it's 347-838-9736. So I have seen everything from lights in the sky and aircrafts that I, you know, I'm an educated person, and I am, you know, I'm able to discern the difference between a jet or a hot air balloon or a test balloon or an airplane to what I would consider a UFO. And I have witnessed, on numerous occasions, I have witnessed UFOs. And I also had, and that's with PSI Researcher Group, and I also was actually regressed because of experiences that I I was having experiences, and they were abduction experiences. And so what I'm going to share a little bit, and Denise, you mentioned that some areas, and I agree, some areas seem to be more prone. Of course, we know that, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, Snowflake, Arizona, the movie Fire in the Sky, that was a true story. There's a lot of data that supports that. And then also we have Dr. Abigail Taylor, and there was a movie that was loosely based on her experience. She was a psychiatrist. Actually, she and her husband were, and they started to, they were dealing with people that were having experiences, but that was Nome, Alaska. There was, and that's a very small populated area. Alaska, as we know, is one of the biggest states, but it has one of the least amount of populations. So if you want to look at it, there's actually a lot of data out there that suggests there's also, and I'm just kind of throwing this out there just to support that, just to give some credence and support to there is something going on. There is NASA has several different projects. One of them is Project Sigma, and these are basically all high-clearance, high-security documents. Some of them are public. Most of them are, you know, under high classification. And these are documents about how the military responds when an aircraft, I believe it was Betty, I believe it was Mr. and Mrs. White back in, I think it was 1947 or 57, that claimed to have had an experience, and the military, I mean, so it's what where I'm going with this is that the military has document after document, page after page, all types of setups of how the military will respond, and outsiders or civilians are strictly prohibited from being anywhere near an area. In fact, people have been removed from their homes and pretty much paid off, if you will, and not allowed to return when there's been any type of suspected alien encounters, whether that's a crashed craft or something that's been left behind or a mark in the earth. And obviously, if we want to look at the government, we want to look at, you know, the government doesn't have documents that say, well, if your house is haunted, this is what the government military is going to do. Or if you see a fairy or you see a leprechaun, this is how the government's going to handle it. Excuse me. So that alone tells me that there's some proof. And Natalie, the owner of STARS, had mentioned a couple different times about the pyramids. And it is my belief, and that is more so based on my guides, they have shared with me that the pyramids were built by higher intelligence, by aliens, that there were different times during our existence as humans that the aliens were directly involved. Now, I've not really been given an answer, or sometimes, you know, we're just not given the information. Maybe it just doesn't serve the highest good, or there's nothing served. But there's been various times throughout the centuries that humans have existed that aliens have been, if you want to say, welcomed, and these are the higher type of aliens, and they've been welcomed on the planet, and they've worked and shown us different technologies. And so I believe that the pyramids are definitely, along with crop circles, are a result of alien intelligence. And I do want to comment, Denise, there's so much to be said. At least I feel there's – so I can – don't worry, James, if you don't have a lot to say, I can more than make up for that. That's a joke. You guys are supposed to laugh. Okay, delayed laugh, but that's okay. We got the
little
laugh.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing.
Okay, well, thanks. Because I'm really I'm very intrigued, and I began by reading Whitley Strieber's books. And anyone that's interested in UFOs and the abduction and how this process can occur, I would suggest that you look up that author and begin by reading, because he's a very convincing author. So a couple things that I wanted to point out. Denise, you had shared with us an experience, and I believe you've talked about this before, about a praying mantis-looking reptilian type of extraterrestrial, correct?
Yes, there was a praying mantis that looked literally like just a big, tall, giant praying mantis, and then the other experience was what I've seen around people's auras, like behind them, and this was literally eyes open, you know, third eye open, no type of meditation whatsoever, and that was of a reptilian-like creature, not very nice looking at all, very smirky, and again, had to kind of make a little video about that, but yeah, those were two that I've never seen in kind of sci-fi movies. I'm sure they were probably there in the background, I just never noticed them. I'm thinking like Star Wars and, you know, X-Files and all that, but yeah, very much reptilian-looking and the insect of the prey mantis-looking.
Okay, now, and I'm going to share, and again, this is just my belief. This doesn't mean that it's true or that it's any higher of a belief system than anyone else's. But my guides believe that the reptilian and the praying mantis especially is a very common extraterrestrial, and that their agenda, that they're almost led by the way ants are led. They're almost a colony of beings that are led by a leader, and it's telepathic, and they're almost robotic in the way that they work. And if you want to look at them as worker bees or worker ants, they follow instructions, and their agenda, along with some of the reptilian type of aliens, their agenda is more to see what we have to offer as humans. And when I had mentioned a little bit last week that they have pretty much no emotional affect. And by that I mean there's no emotional expression, there is no care or concern, and that's where we get robotic. I have also been shown by my guides that they have their reproduction is done very differently. So not to put too fine a point on it, and of course not to be too crude on air, but physically there is no difference between male or female. They have no physical attributes that determine whether they're male or female, because they are neither, and the praying mantis type are one of the lower ones, even though they have the intelligence, the technology intelligence. They are, I've always been shown by my guides that they are thieves, and they're copiers, posers, if you will. And so they often will steal information in terms of technology, and their intentions are not very, very positive at all. And then we have the reptilians. And then there's also a couple others that I want to bring up quickly, and I'll move it back to James. And we have two different type of grays. And a lot of times when we come into contact, whether it's a, you know, we see them through an abduction or we have an encounter, some people, you know, a ship may land and they may, you know, just happen to be at the right place at the right time, and so they may actually get a bird's eye view. A lot of times what we're seeing is actually a suit, if you will, a space suit, just like our astronauts need to wear special equipment in order to breathe on, you know, if they're visiting Mars or they're going to other planets or they're in space, because we need oxygen. A lot of times what we're seeing is not the actual alien itself and what they look like, but what we're seeing is the spacesuit, and so it can be very different. So we have the tall and the short. And from what I'm shown, there's actually a third species that are a little bit more bluish in color, and they are the highest of, in terms of, when I say highest, I mean closest to humans, having care and concern, having the intention to help us to, they see us as destroying our planet. Again, I'm going to refer back to the Avatar movie. So more, if for those that have seen that movie, more of that mindset where they have this beautiful connection and they are emotional and they are extremely sensitive. And it seems that from what I've been shown that there is something about their planet or their system. It feels like its time is limited. And so they're looking for ways without causing any harm to help us and themselves. And so they are one of the ones that I believe are involved in reproduction. And they are very male and female, so they have definitive genders, at least physically. That's not to say that their energy can't be mixed, but physically, you know, they're obviously male or female, and they're a parent. And as far as what I've always been shown, each species communicates telepathically. Although these blue ones that are a little bit bigger than the small grays, but not quite as large as the large grays, they are the ones that are more reassuring, more kind. If they're doing a medical procedure or they're doing an implantation, they do it with kindness, and even if it's telepathic, they might hold our hand and say, I'm sorry if this is good, you know, you're going to feel a pinch. Kind of like our own medical doctor would do if we were going to undergo a procedure that was necessary. So they seem to be or seem to have the highest, and I do believe that it is this species of aliens that are involved or were involved with pyramids and are currently involved with crop circles and quite a few other things that are going on with our planet. So with that, that was a lot right there. I would like to go ahead and turn it over to James and see he's getting hit by all ends here.
Well, it's and for me, I mean, like, you know, when it comes to the pyramids and, you know, one of my favorite shows is Alien, it's a Discovery, and I can't think of it. But it's about ancient structures that, you know, we don't have the technology now. And of course, that's a mystery. You know, I feel like it's a mystery. And I don't necessarily, you know, I guess with that, I don't necessarily need an answer for it. One thing, you know, and yeah, I guess you can answer, and I guess there doesn't have to be a purpose behind it. But for me, when it comes to me working with, you know, when I work with my guides, when I work with the angels, if I'm, you know, if I'm having a spirit journey, a shamanic journey, you know, or, I mean, like, there's always an underlining purpose. I guess not always, but for the most part, you know, right. there's an underlining purpose. And I hear a lot of what I'm not undermining what you're saying, because I know that for you it's very real. For me, it's kind of mythology. And I don't necessarily see, like, an underlining purpose behind it, you know, just in knowing. And I've never really, you know, when I've talked to people who are really into this, you know, into the aliens that are here or the alien abductions and all of this, I've never really seen it go to a very healthy place. I've always seen it go to almost like a paranoia place. And I'm not saying this with you. I'm just saying that, you know, from my personal experience with people, I've always, it always tends to lead into conspiracy theories and, you know, just many things that are not necessarily conducive to what my personal goals are in this life, which my personal goal is to bring light and love in whatever area, you know, I'm in. And love doesn't have paranoia. Love doesn't have fear. I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, there are bad things in the government. There are, you know, I'm not saying that those things don't exist. But to me, to spend a lot of energy on something like that, I guess I personally don't see an innate benefit to it. And then I kind of have a little bit of confusion where So when you see, I apologize, but when you've seen these beings, you've not seen them face to face, but it's more of a spiritual thing and they follow people around. Am I understanding? I think both of you kind of referenced being able to see them.
I'll explain a little bit more about my experiences after you say
and,
that.
And, right, and I really,
exactly what you're talking about.
I want to, if you don't mind, Denise, before we turn it over to you, I'll let James finish, but I really want to answer him because he brought up some extremely important points, and I want to clarify a couple things, but please continue, James.
Okay, all right. Well, so those are a couple questions that I have, and you know, again, I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate on this particular issue because, to me, spirit has never led me to this place. You know, I mean, my personal spirituality is, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm also, I study shamanism, neo-shamanism. You know, so I have spirit journeys and things of that nature that, you know, are a part of my spirituality, but I have never once, other than one channeling experience, but that channeling experience was someone on a completely different planet that we just seemed to connect. I have never experienced any alien activity or you know, extra. Yeah, I've never really experienced it. So I'm coming from that place. But I guess I'm going to kind of leave it at that. I guess the biggest thing for me is what is the intrinsic value? I mean, is it just knowledge? Is it just understanding, which is okay in itself because knowledge and wisdom and understanding is another thing I value very deeply. But for me, there has to be to really say, okay, I can learn about this particular topic. It's almost like for me, there has to be some level of verifiable evidence of, you know, why I'm pursuing this as a study. So I guess with that I'll pass.
Well, and I don't want to steal Denise's turn, but I'm going to go ahead and this is Maya, and I'm just so compelled. So excuse me, Denise, for butting in here, but. You know, James, I totally respect where you're coming from, and I actually support everything you're saying, and I believe that you're right. So what I'd like to do is explain to you, because generally my guides, although there's value in lessons and learning and seeing, you know, receiving visions that have some in some way teach us, I could not agree more. First of all, I want to make it absolutely clear that I feel that when we become too involved in the alien situation, that it does breed fear and it can cause a lot of chaos and anxiety. So let me explain to you why this became such an important situation to me. I went through an extremely difficult period back, I'm going to say, about 15 years ago. And I'm 55, and I have been spiritually gifted and able to tap into energies for as long as I can remember. And I've always, since I was a young teenager, have been involved in some way in working with others and guiding them. But exactly what you said is exactly what happened to me. I had some experiences that were out of my realm, even being a spiritual person. They were not anything that I had experience with, and in fact, they were very much in conflict with everything that I had been taught and I had learned from a spiritual perspective. And I found myself in such a state of constant anxiety and and I'm just, you know, I'm a very honest person, so I'm going to, you know, reveal this about myself because I think that James has good points, and I don't think it's good for our listeners or for people to be in a state of anxiety and chaos, but that did happen to me. I became, unfortunately, I had recall of some memories that I became so disturbed, James, and so anxious that I was unable to fall asleep due to fear, and I was beginning to obsess over what was happening, why it was happening, how could I prevent it, how could I stop it. I felt very powerless, and that these experiences were not positive, even though now I can see I'm able to step back and disconnect emotionally. At the time, it really caused, if you want to use the analogy of losing a loved one or something, you know, if you can think of the most traumatic experience that you might have in your physical life, this is how it affected me, and it was disrupting my entire life, and I was, you know, reaching out and looking for answers and trying to find a way to find stability and balance within my spiritual self. And I really, really, really struggled. And that is when my guide stepped in and they shared some knowledge with me and they were able to help me to understand things in a universal way and to accept and help me to put that back or set it aside and disconnect from it. So I think what you said is so spot on that it really does, when we start to get too focused on these ideas about alien abductions and getting poked and prodded, I do feel that it instantaneously brings up fear. But the reason that my guides made such a point of sharing this information was because I needed to be saved, if you will. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And, you know, because that's the path. I mean, that to me is a spiritual path. If whatever it is, if it alleviates suffering and brings you to a place of more harmony and clarity, then that to me, I totally get it. Like, that's fine. I don't necessarily know that I would adopt what your guides shared with you personally, just because it's not my personal path and I haven't had those experiences. But to me, to have spiritual experience without any kind of underlining, you know, purpose, it's almost like it doesn't make sense to me. And I've had spiritual experiences. Actually, I've had a lot of spiritual experiences that I guess, you know, were for knowledge only, for wisdom and knowledge only. And that's you know, similar to a lot of what I guess, you know, you guys are expressing as well, that, you know, it's important to know certain things. And maybe it's very important, you know, living in Arizona, maybe it's very important to know on your spiritual path to know about, you know, these types of things. I live in Michigan. Maybe it's not as common, so maybe it's not important for me to have an underlining innate knowledge or understanding of this. And so that's, you know, why I haven't. But what you said, that resonates, that makes sense to me, because it has a purpose that brought you back to a place of peace and harmony, so that you could work, you know, your purpose in this lifetime. And so that totally makes sense. And I appreciate you clarifying that.
Yes. And it allowed me to release all that negativity and the fear and all the obstacles. And I no longer, although I support the beliefs and I help other people who have experienced, have had similar experiences, I no longer find it necessary. I don't receive currently information about it. So it definitely served a higher purpose, and it helped me tremendously. And so with that, because I do agree, I don't believe that our guides are spiritual, you know, connection should be for no reason at all. It should either be for a higher learning experience or the ability to share with someone, or if we're in a desperate time of need and we need, you know, we need assistance, just like we might see a doctor if we have a health problem, or, you know, I mean, that's a great reason to get a spiritual reading as well, as if you're going through a difficult time. And before we turn it over to Denise, once again, 347-838-9736. As you can see, we're all getting all riled up here, so don't hesitate to call. And go ahead, Denise, and I apologize for taking so much time this evening, but please go ahead and share your viewpoints here and what else you would like to say, because I know that you, too, you had mentioned, and I'm really anxious to hear your personal experiences or what you're willing to share at any rate.
Okay, thank you, Maya, and thank you, James. And James, you know, definitely coming from a place of wanting to learn more and not having experienced the same thing, it is, you know, I understand exactly where you're coming from in terms of wanting some clarity and understanding to what's the purpose, what's the meaning. Is it just a bunch of talk, or is it, you know, does it have a walk associated with it? And with me personally, and I think with anybody, whether your guide takes you on the internet to just say, I want to learn about, you know, Bigfoot, or I want to learn about UFOs, there is a purpose that you are being led to learn about a particular subject. And I feel like there's always a spiritual purpose behind any type of seminar somebody goes to, workshop, or Google search. I feel like there's going to be a deeper meaning that might come a little bit later in terms of all that knowledge finally paying off through an experience or through information when you get yourself in a situation and now you know how to get yourself out of it because all the solutions have come in. I mean, it's like the people who study how to, those people who think the world's coming to an end and they need to know how to, you know, survive, right? The zombie apocalypse. I don't know why that's such a big thing right now, which is kind of ridiculous to me. But it's, to me, I'm like, any time that somebody can learn something about a particular subject, there might actually be some use to that down the road. There are plenty of stories of people saying they were in a situation, they read something years ago, just out of the blue, you know, just gathering knowledge, and it just paid off, saved somebody's life or saved their own life. With my particular situation, I was coming from a place of just doing readings, just living in Tennessee, and really feeling like I needed to go the next level. I need to go a vibration up. So that's when I drove cross-country. Like everybody, I had that whole dream like in the 70s. I don't know. I'm not from the 70s, but I had that whole like hippie dream of like, I want to travel across the country and drive my way to, you know, enlightenment. So I did that. I drove across the country, came to Arizona, and one of the things that I wanted to do when I got here is because the energy felt less dense than the South, and I lived even in the Midwest as well, but even on the East Coast, but when I came here, it just felt so just free, you know, there's no trees, it's desert, it's, you know, there's trees here and there, but everything just felt very open, and of course, the Native American spirituality, having that in my bloodline, it's just all opened up for me to where I wanted to take everything to the next level in terms of even look at my perspectives and go, what haven't I experienced, what haven't I learned, what can I still grow from, and with the experience that I had in terms of being led to these particular situations, places, meetup groups, things of that nature, it was for a higher reason. It was for my spiritual purpose and growth because healing was my mission. I did my Reiki. I've been healing for a while, but I did the actual Reiki attunement when I came to Arizona, and that's when everything lifted up for perspective. But the reason that everything that I spoke of in terms of my experience with the praying mantis and the reptilians and the greys, and I must say, as Maya was saying, yes, praying mantis, they do come off very robotic in a sense, but I feel they're actually leaders to greys, more so than being led by another species. They could be led by another species, but from my experience, they came off very emotionless in terms I couldn't read if they were good or bad. That did not come instant. With the reptilians, I'm not talking about the greys, but the reptilians, the ones that have the faces that look like reptiles, that to me came off very negative. And I do feel they actually do have emotions, but it's just not a very positive emotion. So I do feel they are very intelligent. I feel they are very much shapeshifters on this earth. But again, let me go back to my point. And the reason I had these experiences from sitting in those groups and learning all these things, yes, I was coming from a very logical place at the time, But what I wasn't really putting two and two together was that my guide was about to take me on a journey to where it all made sense. And the journey that all made sense was when I moved into an area that was near an Indian reservation, and I was living with two females and one male. One of the males was an ex-Marine, so he was a vet. And he was only in his 20s, like only around like 26, 27 or so. But he just broken up with his girlfriend. His girlfriend had cheated on him. He was really in a dark place. Now, I come from a Southern background. You know, maybe my parents were a little overprotective of me, but I've never been around people who smoked weed, were on drugs, were alcoholics. I never hanged out with those types of people. I was just never around depressed people before. And being in that environment and seeing, you know, his energy shift and how he, you know, was a recreational marijuana smoker and, you know, was in a place where he was drinking. And it wasn't to a place where he was very negative with it. It was just a place where he was like a functioning alcoholic and, you know, a recreational weed smoker. And I've never been around those types of people, but I wasn't very judgmental in being in that environment. I was very compassionate and very curious to how these people, because I deal with people all day long who have all sorts of different problems. And because I was in a healing place and learning more about healing and how to heal other people and at the same time healing myself, you know, in ways that I never thought of, this was part of the journey, learning about these extraterrestrials and knowing that, yes, you're not alone on this planet. Yes, there are beings of light, there are beings of dark, and, you know, there are people that are assisting this planet in healing the planet. And you're not just on this planet with other humans having a spiritual experience, you know, doing it all together. There are beings assisting everybody as well. And that just took me to another level of going, oh, well, that's great. So everybody's healing and everybody's assisting on the healing process of this earth, and that's wonderful. So to me, it just took me to another place of going, okay, we're not alone in that sense of healing, general sense of just healing. And in that environment, I knew I was on a mission to look more at the different areas that need healing in people. And that's when I saw the spirit attachment behind him. Again, was not in a meditation state at all. But having gone through the remote viewing and having that meditation experience with Grace, that all led to that point of seeing it clearly with my eyes, seeing something form behind him. It was taller than him. He was 6'2", so it was at least about maybe 6'7", or so. And seeing that head form behind him with that smirk, my guide was saying, this is what it's led to. Now let's get on the process of learning a little bit about spirit attachment and how they come about people who are in a bad place in their life and depressed or using substances and things of that nature, because it's something that's going to show up in your past needs for other people that you're going to assist with your Reiki and with your matrix energetics down the road. Anytime people are led to learn anything, as long as they don't go to a place of accepting conspiracy theories like, you know, the government's out to kill us all, and they go to that very negative place of just not looking at the higher perspective of it all and just of saying, yes, there's good and there's bad, whatever. But everybody's on a different path, and I think everybody who takes in any type of knowledge, wherever they are in their path, it's on a spiritual road to make sense and clarify something at the end of the day. And it all led me to that one moment that has completely changed my life. After that, I saw that on him, I really got into looking more into spirit attachments and how I can heal that on people and cut those cords and look at what maybe attracts those types of entities and things of that nature. And that's just been the path that I've been on when it comes to my personal Reiki experiences, healing experiences with people. That's just what I've been on, and that path of people that now come to me, they say, yeah, you know, I just feel like there's something always around me, or, you know, and I've even done podcasts with people that have actually written books about that. So it's just like I attract that energy because this is just the next phase of my path, was to deal with people who had spirit attachments and things and alcohol abuse and substance abuse. And in Arizona, you know, they were kind of out west here. People are a little liberal, but it seems to be liberal all over the country nowadays. And that's just part of the scene, you know, especially my generation. I'm only 32. I had to think about that for a minute because I'll be 33 in December. But I am dealing with kids you know, that are still young and still going through life and experiencing things and opening up to their own spiritual belief system. I mean, I'm an indigo child. I'm in the indigo starseed generation. So it's just something that naturally seems to be attracted to a lot of the starseeds who seem to be very kind of, quote-unquote, evolved and really going to a place of high spirituality and having to go through that phase where, yeah, they're going to have a lot more alien contacts because they do seem to attract that energy, being that they do remember life on other planets and things of that once they awaken. So it's just me in my generation, in my indigo world, dealing with starseeds and everything leading up to really clarifying what type of healing I was supposed to do. So I hope that makes a little bit more sense in terms of why I speak about these beings and the purpose to why they've come into my personal life and why they might come into other people's personal lives as well. I think every bit of knowledge that you're led to is going to make sense on down the road in some form or another that's going to evolve you spiritually. I just think any of it, I don't care how grounded the knowledge is, it's going to pay off one day in terms of your spiritual evolution. It's just kind of sitting there, you know, building. It's kind of like having experience with radio when I was in high school and now doing, you know, radio on a syndicated radio show right now and also participating on this radio show. It's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes things, they might seem very minor and grounded and superficial at a point, but it's usually something that's just going to be building on down the road. So that's just my two cents, my story, my experience, and why I feel like everything does have a kind of purpose at the end of the day.
Well, this is Maya, and thank you, Denise. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. And I agree also that even though I started that particular journey because of personal experiences, I was elevated to a place where I find that people that have had similar experiences or questionable experiences, and especially, you know, I mean, there's still some things in our world that are shunned by the general public or questioned or, you know, people, you know, raise their eyebrows or, you know, give a look. And so I feel that ultimately I was led through that journey, and I was given, you know, explicit instructions and information so that as people were drawn to me, like you said, you know, I was able to help them, not just from the spiritual side. I mean, I believe that we can help people, you know, as spiritually gifted. We can help people without necessarily having had the same exact experience. However, I do think it can raise things up a notch when we have that very close empathic nature because we have shared a similar experience. So I feel that, you know, I no longer question, I no longer regret, I'm no longer concerned about it whatsoever. I get a lot of clients that come to me that are intimidated and, you know, they're a little bit fearful of being judged by others by sharing these experiences, and they're seeking maybe not just understanding but peace as well. And now that I've gone through this journey and I've been provided with this information, I feel that I can offer that to them. So, you know, I'm not sure. Can anybody else hear that noise? I'm not sure what it is.
Real quick.
I don't know if it's one of our phones or just the radio, but I don't know if anybody else could hear it. But I do feel that it ultimately served a much higher purpose, and it allowed me to be able to reach out to people specifically, aside from just generally what I do, but to help people specifically with that particular area and to put their mind at ease and help them to deal with it without having to go through, you know, a lot of chaos or frenzy or anxiety or stress. And I also support, however, I am a person that supports that when we have an interest in something, I really don't see any harm in furthering that interest by discovering all we can about it, because I feel that they're, you know, my personal belief system is with God. So I do put my trust and faith in Him, but I'm accepting of all various, you know, belief systems, religions, spiritual ways of looking at things. So I do believe that, you know, if as an individual or a listener, if something is very intriguing to you, whether it's the pyramids or the crop circles or aliens or Bigfoot or werewolves, whatever it is, if it's something that's intriguing to you and resonates with you and you want to, you know, pursue that by reading or you mentioned the Internet, I mean, the Internet's just an amazing source of information, not that we can believe everything we read. But, I mean, there is quite a bit of accurate and valid and, you know, up-to-date information. So with that, we're probably ready to start to wrap things up. Once again, boy, this has really been an interesting topic, and I think it's great when we all have something different to bring to the table. I think it would be a little bit boring if everybody just said, oh, me too, me too, me too, me too, so... You know, it's great that we have different viewpoints and different ways of looking at things and different ways of acting on our beliefs and sharing those with our clients. So with that, I'll go to you, James, and see what last thoughts or what you'd like to share with us before we end the show.
Okay, yeah, this is James again, and you know I certainly appreciate you know the viewpoints that are expressed on here, and I certainly would never want to undermine you know what you guys believe or anything like that. I respect it, whether I agree with it or not. I certainly do respect it, so I don't want anybody to think that you know I'm trying to undermine what their belief is, because I'm not. I think that my biggest struggle with the topic as a whole is that the people that I have encountered in my lifetime that have kind of been on that, and I am not catching this vibe from either of you, but that have been on that kind of path where they're you know doing a lot of research online or reading a lot of books, I've never seen it go to a place where it's been beneficial to them. I guess that's the one thing that I've noticed about this particular topic, is it tends to lead people to a darker place, a more anxious place with fears, conspiracy theories, all of that kind of in the mix. And I guess that's probably one of my biggest struggles with this particular topic. And I think it's a fascinating topic. It's something that, you know, I am interested in. And I certainly believe that there are, you know, that there are beings outside of our planet. Yeah, I mean, it just logically, that would be the only logical conclusion, considering that, you know, there are over 100 billion galaxies, and each one containing at least 100 billion stars. I mean, it only makes sense that there is life off of this, you know, little rock of ours. Just the idea that they'd be here doesn't really resonate, or doesn't really make sense. I can't really say resonate, because that's kind of a term that I usually use for spiritual purposes. And my perspective on this is really more logical. Even my assessment of people who have kind of delved into doing a lot of research and doing a lot of exploration into this particular topic, you know, I can logically look at their situation and go, especially if you're very anxious about it and they're into several different conspiracy theories and all of that, I can see a dark side to this. And that's probably why I've kind of steered clear of it in my own personal life. Not that there can't be a light side. You know, there's the flip of the coin to just about everything. And I think that the both of you have really intelligently expressed that, you know, lighter side, and I appreciate that. But, you know, that's kind of my personal viewpoint, my personal take on the conversation as a whole. And I just want to thank everybody for listening and, you know, thank everybody in the chat room. And you guys just kind of taking hold of this conversation, because it's something that I don't really have a lot of information to share. So I really appreciate the information that was provided. And I will go ahead and pass it on.
Okay.
Go ahead, thank you.
Yes, I agree. I think if you do want to learn a topic, make sure you balance it with a higher perspective. And if you do, you know, if you're early, you're maybe not really into spirituality, you don't really want to even, you know, well, maybe it's just not your time to really open up on the spiritual end, and you just want to learn information, and you're still on the kind of the grounded front, and I think that's kind of what you were talking about, James, is when you learn anything and you're kind of coming at it from a very grounded, where your ego just wants to learn and absorb and all of that type of stuff, and your intuition wants nothing to do with it, then, yeah, it can definitely go to a dark place because you're dealing with things on the Internet and on sci-fi. It can be very exaggerated and go to that place of do-do-do-do-do, you know, because you know those music and all those little ghost hunter shows. It always comes in at one point. So was that a sound? You know, it's just one of those things. So make sure if you're going to learn anything in life, do try to balance it with some type of higher perspective, or at least try to Google the higher perspective of what you might be dealing with. For example, if you want to Google and learn a little bit about Bigfoot, yeah, learn about Bigfoot. Look at all the sightings, the videos, things of that nature. But also go the other end. Maybe look at it from a place of, oh, is there a psychic aspect to Bigfoot? People research maybe a little bit more of the spiritual connection of Bigfoot, why he might actually be seen. Is there a healing of the earth type of aspect to Bigfoot? You know, always make sure you balance grounded energy with higher evolved spiritual energy. And then you'll find yourself in a very nice middle ground where you don't get too focused on illusionary fears or too woo-woo in terms of, you know, lost in space, so to speak. But those are just my two cents as we end the show out. It's just kind of find a place in the middle to stick to and don't get too caught up in one extreme or the other.
Well, thank you, Denise. And I think we all tend to agree on several of the main theories. And I agree, too, although I think it's learning, higher learning is always or generally a positive experience. I think when we start to become obsessed, and I would say the same thing, you know, looking at extraterrestrials or alternate life forms, that, you know, to satisfy your curiosity, that's fine, or if you've had a personal experience and you'd like a better understanding. But I totally agree with both you and James that it should be balanced. And I do agree very much with James that oftentimes I have seen where someone has gone too far with it. And like he mentioned, it just has not led to a good place. And I think the same thing can be said with hauntings and ghosts. It's one thing if you've noticed that there's something disruptive going on or something, there's some type of energy, say, in your home. It's one thing to decide to get more information. You know, I belong to a local paranormal group. And, they're very positive and very helpful. And for a lot of people, they just need a little bit of understanding and a little help in reclaiming. But for those that get too far off the deep end with that, without balancing it with reality and now and the positive things that we have in our life as spiritual beings in physical bodies, I feel like it can lead to a dark place. And that's true of many of the subjects within spirituality. I mean, more so than maybe I think it's hard if we're looking at science to really say, ooh, that's going to get scary, you know, or like I made the joke about math. I mean, you know, some of those type of subjects, we're really not going to go off the deep end or go into a dark place. But definitely we need to balance everything, you know, with calmness and with the thought in mind that, you know, there is divine, there is a collective and universal consciousness, and that, you know, we are of the light. I do believe that very much. And while darkness does exist, we can't have light without dark. Lightness and light is what we're all about, and the light is going to shine over the darkness. So if you keep that in mind and you keep yourself balanced, regardless of what you might be curious about or might be facing or might have had a personal experience about, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to drive yourself to the brink of insanity by Googling things or, getting to the point where you can't sleep, or every time, you know, a cup seems in a different place, you know, you're sure that there's haunts and ghosts and, you know, all kinds of things, or, you know, the window's open or there's an unexplained bruise and you've convinced yourself that you're being abducted by these horrible creatures that are torturing you and poking things in your eyes, like that one movie where poked him in the eye and did all kinds of stuff. I think as humans, you know, we're curious, but we can get carried away. So with that, you know, definitely explore anything that you experience in your life. And as you can see, you've got to meet just a few of the wonderful experts on Star Psychics. There's many, many more. And we're all qualified in different areas. We all have specialties. And we're all here to help you achieve your light and reach your potential. And I want to thank again the chat room. And I'd like to really, we need to give a special thanks to Stars Priestess Candy. She has worked so hard in helping to get us all out there and promoting the new things that, and Natalie, of course, has just worked her little fingers to the bone in doing great things for us. And so when we're talking about things of the light, I can't not mention how beautiful and how the site, and from Natalie all the way down the line, how filled with light it is and how caring. I'm sure you can tell if you've been listening, how each of us may differ in what we see or how we see things. But we all truly want what's best for you, and we're all here to serve your highest good. And, you know, the same thing with the curses and spells and all that. None of us are going to be, you know, inducing any fear in you. If anything, we're going to be reducing and diffusing any fears or discouraging or upsetting issues that you may have. We're here to help. So with that, I want to wish everyone a wonderful evening. It's been a great, great, great show, as usual, and I can't wait till next Monday.
Maybe we should talk about angels next Monday.
Well, you know what? That's funny you said that, Denise. I was thinking that when I was listening. I thought, angels, that would be really great. I think
that would be a really great show.
Yeah, it really would. But, of course, I want to thank everybody for coming in the chat tonight. We were pretty busy tonight. We had Stars Garrett. We had Stars Aeneas. And, of course, Stars Denise. Cosmic Denise, you were sitting in there. And Stars Priestess Candy, you know, yeah, she does a lot. You know, we're always talking several times a day, early morning, late at night, and all the ideas. And, you know, I can't do it all by myself. It's impossible. But I feel that I have a great site with great people. And, of course, I want to let everybody know that is listening that we now have, she said thanks, Natalie. Going to make me cry. We now have audio in our chat, so if you have a built-in mic, if you have a headset, the headphones, you test your microphone, the directions are there. You can talk to your advisor. They can talk back to you. We have a pause button in there so that until you make the really good connection, so none of the minutes are used from the client. We've taken care of it all. I mean, it took 2 years to develop. It's perfect right now. And other good things are coming. I'm not even going to open the door yet, but there are. This week alone, talk about things. Everything is coming to me. I mean, I'm getting emails from people, and it's amazing. Because I was just saying, because I talk to God every morning. Okay, you know, I need some help here. I need some doors to open so that I can kind of go through them, make a decision. Well, I'm being blasted with these doors hitting me in the face, because there's so many things coming our way for me to look into. I'm very pleased with everybody on the panel. Of course, Maya and Denise and James. I guess we lost James there. But, you know, when you have people like this, it makes my job really easy. Everything is smooth. I really don't have a problem. I don't stress because I have a wonderful group. It's a community. I want to let everybody know that. that there is no competition amongst all of my advisors. They're all there. I've interviewed them all. And I'm saying all this because people do listen to the show afterwards, and they really don't really understand. I have live help now, live chat, excuse me, on when I launch it. I can talk to people that come on the site. I know everybody that's there. And I have to thank Tony because he does listen. He's really revving things up now, and that's good. That makes me feel really good. So thank you, Maya, Denise, and James. I know you're not on, but I know he did a great job. And next week he's going to be right with it with the angels. You know, he loves that topic. So
yeah,
I guess we'll
pick it up.
But yeah, that's a great idea. Great idea. So okay, well, everybody in the chat, thank you for coming. We appreciate all of you. Know you are very, very loved. That's what the site is about. It's about love and compassion, integrity, and all those good kind of things. And, you know, it's just a wonderful feeling. You guys just make me feel so good. So I love all of you, and we'll see all of you next week at 7. Thanks, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.